Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, guys. Injuries from the game, just one new one. Debo ended up having a calf strain. He'll probably miss a couple weeks. That's it.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Word travels fast.
Oh, that's it.
That's it.
I mean,
that's it. Is he talking about the injury list or the season?
Right? I mean, Debo has a calf. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. That's it. Oh, you mean that's all? Kyle, that's it? Just a couple of weeks and you have no running back, no starting running back?
Possibly.
For 4 weeks and, yeah, you're
You have a starting running back? Sure. Is he leading the league in rushing?
He might be.
Who is?
Is he leading the league in carries?
Who's got more than 248?
J.K. Dobbins might.
Oh, J.K. Dobbins. Is that it? Here, let me pull it up real quick. Rushing. Yeah, Mason's two. You're right. Dobbins has got 266 and Mason's got 247.
And look out for Saquon tonight. He might jump them all. We'll see.
What did Saquon have just rushing last week? What did Saquon have? I don't even say. Did he even have 100 yards rushing? Yeah, he had 109. But he didn't need another big night. Some of that was receiving. But anyway, yeah. If you're just joining us, Debo Samuel is going to miss, quote, the next couple weeks with a calf strain. And that just popped up, apparently happened toward the end of the game. I love this fan base. This fan base is so into it. A lot of red in Minnesota. You nut jobs all flew to Minnesota for this. Good job. Good work. But yeah, I just got a text from my 15-year-old daughter. With about 17 M's. Debo's now out for the next 3 weeks as well, Dad.
Is that how you read her texts?
That's how they're written.
Right.
I'm like, I love that my daughter, who knows that I'm in the middle of a sports radio show in San Francisco, is trying to break news to me about Debo Samuel. Why? Because she loves it. She's into it that much.
Totally.
Yeah. So she is, she's into it, you're into it, and this is scary. This is scary. But 888-957-9570, you think Brock Purdy's going to flourish or flounder? Because it's poetic going into the big contract negotiation offseason. Now we're going to see him without Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. But this is what people kind of, in a way, want to see. Like, let's see. You want 60 mil? Let's see. Let's see you move the ball. And I'll already tell you that some of this will be unfair because any quarterback in the league, if you start losing, you're like, what's Matt Stafford supposed to look like next week? How did he do yesterday? Like, they looked awful. They can't move the ball. So there's going to be some of that. I would pull expectations for point total down, but it's not like it's not a running excuse either. You have to still be able to function. You know, Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl with who as his receivers? You have to still be Josh Allen. We turned the whole receiving core over. We're 2-0. All right, like, let's see it. And he still does have plenty of name weapons. A $30 million receiver, you got an expensive tight end.
Ah, there you go.
You got Jordan Mason in the backfield. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that they'll be fine.
Well, and the spread hasn't moved as far as I can see. For the Ram game, still favored by 7.5. And even if the spread does move, you're still going to be favored over the Rams. You're going to be favored over the Patriots, even if you don't have Debo or McCaffrey. You're still going to be favored in both of those games, and you've got a quarterback who is top five in the MVP. You've got one of the best tight ends, and you've got a wide receiver making $30 million, and you got a Hall of Famer at left tackle. So memo to the 49ers and their named players, go out there and play like you're supposed to play. Hey, Brandon Ayuk, it'll be week 3. It's time for you to shake off the rust and get ready to be a dominant receiver again. And Trent Williams, who allowed 4 pressures yesterday and was generally not very good yesterday. Go out there and be better.
That's where you want to look, by the way. That my super quick answer to this, and it'll probably be unsatisfying, but if the offensive line creates time, the 49er offense will be fine. They'll move. And if there's no time, boy, they're going to struggle because those are his fail safes. Those, you know what I mean? Those are the people you look to sort of move the chains when things are tight or tough or third and three, third and four. Like, that's what I'm really interested to know what third down's going to look like. Because third down is Debo and Christian and Debo.
And Juwan.
And Juwan. I get you. But Juwan is usually like, why is Juwan open? Because Christian and Debo. So that's what I'm really, especially since it didn't go well on that front yesterday. That's what I'm really going to be looking at. But my God, Rams and Niners with no Christian, no Debo, no Puka, no Cooper. Good Lord.
Yeah. Not a lot of fantasy value on the field in that game for the most part. I mean, not as much as you're used to seeing, but now it becomes Chris Conley and it becomes Juwan Jennings. And, you know, honestly, Kyle Juszczyk, a guy who had a couple of big catches yesterday. Now maybe he plays a little bit more of a role in the pass game. But I still think beyond the Debo Samuel injury, and I said this yesterday on Twitter, and I was thinking a lot about it even before the game, they need another running back, somebody that they can trust, because they didn't even use Debo yesterday almost at all.
Not much.
He had two carries, and the second carry was the 9-yard loss that was more of a lateral pass anyway. They need somebody to come in there and be able to carry the ball so you don't have Jordan Mason toting it 24 times a game.
One more from Kyle Shanahan, who was asked how frustrating it is that Debo and McCaffrey are out.
Yeah, I mean, always when you lose real good players, it's always tough, but it happens all over the league, and it's a huge part of this league and a huge part of this game. Got to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good answer. No one's going to feel sorry for you. No one's going to feel sorry for you. Look at what's going on around the league. We've already got a quarterback benched. We've got a concussion controversy, if you want to call it that, in Miami. I mean, that was tucked into the weekend that no one wanted to talk about, but Ian Rappaport's like, Tua's not retiring. He's not retiring.
Why would he? Because you all think he should?
Fair.
So, I mean, because you think that he should retire because he's had three concussions, so he's going to respond to that and just retire? Isn't that a decision that he and his family should make?
I think so.
And his doctors?
I think so.
Now, the Bryce Young one, that's just an unfortunate early admission of probably a bad pick, and he's getting pulled 2 weeks in. But you're right, Mark, about all around the league, there have been a lot of players who've gotten injured, and no one's going to weep for the 49ers being down two of the top 100 in the NFL.
The Packers already had to play their home opener with a backup quarterback. They went out, they won the game. Grind it out. Figure it out. You know, I saw Amon-Ra St. Brown limping around yesterday. I don't know how he is. The Eagles will play tonight without A.J. Brown.
I think Amon-Ra was just cramping is what the report cramping? Was. Yeah.
Is he all right?
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but he seems fine. Yeah. You guys talk about Isaiah Pacheco?
Pacheco, thank you.
On IR.
Fibula, IR.
Yep. Might miss like 6 or 8 games.
For sure. It's a broken fibula. That's not going to be fast. So this is the deal. And there, the season was never going to be without this. You just didn't hope that it was this big of name value this quickly, especially to get the news. I mean, Christian goes on IR. The next day you lose, and the next day you get Debo. It's a hell of a 3 days.
It's rough. It's
That's
a rough,
not yeah. good.
Not what you're looking for.
No.
And it's whatever. It's next man up mentality, and it's a cliche, but when you look at this Niner team and this situation, it's even more true and telling than ever before, because these are the games, this is the spot of the schedule where you thought that you could make some hay, because the Rams, not great. The Patriots are rebuilding, and Arizona, well, it turns out they're better than you thought. But this is the stretch before you get to Kansas City and Buffalo and Dallas and the gauntlet. You go to Green Bay in late fall, early winter. These were the games that you were looking at thinking, okay, this is where we should be able to make some hay.
888-957-9570. And the question is, now that we've got the breaking news that Debo Samuel is going to be out for, quote, a couple of weeks. So now we know for a minimum, the Rams game and the Patriots game, no Debo, no Christian McCaffrey. Do you think Brock Purdy will flounder or flourish? I'm going to say flourish, which will surprise no one, but maybe the reason it is not what you think it is. It's not because I think Brock is amazeballs. Here's why I think he's going to be a flourish, at least this weekend. I actually look at the Patriot game. It's at home. It's the Patriots. But that one's going to be tougher. The Patriots play a physical brand. Their defense has been playing well so far this year. They gave the Seahawks everything they could handle yesterday, even though that game was in Foxborough. I think that he'll flourish because I believe that the 49ers in the next 2 weeks will win the battle in the trenches. The Rams' offensive line is a hot mess. And so defense can lead to offense. I think they'll win the field position battle. I think they'll give him a short field. If the offensive line plays well, Brock will play well. That's one thing I think is just across the board. Brock Purdy, to me, is that's where I feel like he's a really good player. Is he Mahomes or Allen where he can make anything happen on the field? No. But if you give him time, there are very few that I have more confidence in than Brock Purdy. So I'll answer the question by saying I think that they can win the battle in the trenches, and I think that his decision-making and accurate delivery and all of those things will be on display. And I still expect the 49ers to be 3-1 in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think they should be 3-1. I mean, they're going to be favored by a touchdown on Sunday and probably a touchdown if they win against New England, I would imagine. So, yeah, those are games that you quote-unquote should win. But you're right about the amount of pressure and the expectancy now on Brock Purdy without McCaffrey and without Debo for the next couple, two or three games, however long it is. It's going to be a lot more on Brock Purdy. And defensively, if you're scheming against the Niners, it's, you know, worry about Ayuk and George Kittle and, you know, try to stop Jordan Mason and see if Brock Purdy can beat you down the field.
Let's go to Chris in Fremont. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling, man. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How you doing? I could sit here on the line and have a nuanced conversation for an hour on all my opinions and thoughts on the Niners, but I'll try to keep it dialed. The question about Brock, I do think Brock is going to flourish in the sense that he is not going to completely flop and fall on his face. He's not going to go out there sans weapons and just turn into what Caleb Williams has looked like in the first 2 weeks of his NFL career. He's gonna do what Brock does. He's gonna go through a three. He's gonna hit open guys. I think we'll be fine. As opposed to being reactionary to the first 2 weeks of the season, which this happens every year. Good teams lose bad games. Bad teams beat good teams. Whatever. I want to talk about something that we have a little bit more sample size, and that is the lack of, you know, we got the stars, you got Kittle, you got Debo, you got Ayuk, but let me read the names for you. Trey Sermon, remember him?
Yep.
That was a third round pick. Charlie Warner, sixth round pick. You know, you got, who else we get? We got Danny Gray, third round pick. Tyrion Davis Price, third round pick. Who else? Got Cameron Latu, third round pick. He's not on the team anymore. Braden Willis, seventh round pick. Ronnie Bell. You got all these guys that you're wasting draft capital on. And then, you know, I understand you can't talk about the situation with Pearsall. He hasn't been able to get on the field. We understand that. But are you telling me that you're drafting a guy like Jacob Cowan, you like the film on tape, and are you telling me you're such a genius and your offense is so sophisticated that you can't scheme up a play for a new player you drafted? You drafted Isaac Grando in, what, the fourth or fifth? You can't give him the ball one time? So all this stuff about Kyle being a genius, and what, you're drafting players that aren't going to learn your system until week 10? Go out and scheme up a play. He's reminding me of Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Now look at Andy Reid. He's drawing up plays for Xavier Worthy. He's getting his playmakers into space. He is simplifying things for his players. And Kyle refuses to do that. And another note, you want to talk about being a smash football team? You want to talk about physically dominating and imposing your will on the other team, right? You want to be that team? Why are we passing on fourth and two? Why is it that every single situation where you can impose your will and be the physically dominating team that you sell your fan base to be, you get so in your head that, oh, everybody knows we're running the ball. Oh, let me do a pass play. Oh, you know what? Let me do gimmicky little pitch to Debo. I'm so worried that Jordan Nation isn't going to be able to pick up 1 yard. And that is leading to guys getting hurt. It's leading to CMC having an overuse injury. Debo got 8 carries for 23 yards in week one. You know how that turned out? He's banged up already. And he's out for multiple weeks. So this, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think Brock's going to be fine. But I think this is a bigger indictment on Kyle and John and their lack of ability to hit offensive playmakers and use them in the draft. So
thank you, Chris. Very entertaining.
Yeah.
Before we react, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. What say you?
Well, I mean, I thought we could take turns on each of his points.
So you go first.
Christian McCaffrey's injury was not one of overuse. When he got hurt, he played the entire Super Bowl, and then he had a little bit of a strained calf in the offseason, and it didn't get better. I don't think that he got hurt due to overuse.
I've learned that all injuries are Kyle's fault, but go ahead.
Well, I've been one to point the blame at Kyle when appropriate. This one doesn't feel like it's blame worthy. Jacob Cowing, Isaac Garendo is a good example. Garendo was hurt in camp and he missed a couple of weeks.
First play.
He's behind schedule.
Yep.
And if you watched the game, as I have now twice, and you watch his one carry, he played one snap and it did not look like he was ready to play professional football. He kind of tippy-toed to the line of scrimmage, and he got absolutely walloped and knocked back, and Kyle didn't feel like he was ready to be out there. Now, Jacob Cowing, that becomes an interesting name. He played 0 snaps on offense. He played 3 snaps on special teams. On one of those snaps, he muffed the football. So I'm not ready to say it was a bad draft pick, but I'm here to say that it doesn't feel like Jacob Cowing is ready to be out there and be relied upon.
I'll never understand it. And I know.
Nicola was good at naming all the missed draft picks, but he didn't mention the hits.
Thank you.
And that's where you get triggered.
I really do. Because what
you really do.
Well, what you just did to the 49ers, every fan in every city in the NFL can do. Like,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
That's all. I can't take away from you that they took Ty Davis-Price and Trey Sermon in the 3rd round. You're right. There's not a damn thing any of us can do about that. What you can do, though, you can call any NFL fan of another team and ask them, list all the messed up draft picks that we've done for the last 6 years, and you will get a list. You will get a list. What not every NFL fan can do, though, is go, but Kittle, Warner, Greenlaw, Debo, All of those things came. Brock Purdy. None of which came out of the first round.
Jordan Mason.
Undrafted.
An undrafted Mason leading the league in carries right now.
So that's point one. Point two, your Andy Reid comp was unfair, and you damn well know it. You damn well know it, because the comp you just made is that Kyle's reminding you of Andy Reid because Andy in Philadelphia didn't simplify things and draw up plays for his players, his draft picks. And that led to him getting fired. And now, in Kansas City, Andy has learned to simplify things. And he draws up plays for Xavier Worthy. He's simplified things. And that's why the Chiefs are good. I can't think of any other stuff that's different for Andy in Kansas City than it is in Philadelphia. Can you? Except for one. I forgot. He has Mahomes.
Ah.
And that's why Andy is suddenly brilliant. And yes, they all draw plays for their players. The 49ers win 75% of the games they play. And they have one of the most prolific offenses in the entire NFL. Go look at the scoring numbers from last year. So I can't take your takeaway from you. I can't make you like Kyle Shanahan. I can simply state I'll never get it. I'll never understand the view. You're allowed to have any that you want. And if you hate the guy, hate him. If you want to decide every time the Niners lose a game that Kyle is a dunderhead, go right ahead. I'm free to never understand it. The perspective that I'm only going to look at the things that go wrong and totally ignore the much larger sample of things that go right. That's just me. I'll never get it. Never, ever, ever.
And I look at win totals, and the fact that they've been double digits the last 3 years for me indicates that he's probably doing more right than he is doing wrong. I will say this, though, as we begin to think about Sunday and a Ram game with no McCaffrey and no Debo, this becomes, as much as it is a Brock Purdy game, where, okay, Brock, you've got an undrafted first-time starter at running back. I know he has two games under his belt, but you've got a Pro Bowl tight end. You've got a wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, who played 87% of the snaps. So he should be ready to take on even more of a load. He played 61 snaps on Sunday, yesterday. So Ayuk should be excuse-free. He's had two games. Go out there, Brandon. Get open and dominate. Kittle is a tough cover himself. Jordan Mason's been unbelievable. Over 100 yards in his two games. Beyond that, this one feels to me like it's got to be a Kyle Shanahan game. How can you use the others, Juszczyk, Bell,
for sure,
and Conley, and Saubert, and the rest of them? How are you going to get these guys to replicate what you're missing from Debo and Christian?
That's what I'm getting at. We make these games too much about individuals. Why isn't Kittle involved? Or Brandon now has to act like a $30 million receiver? Or this, that, and the other. The Niners need to play well. Kyle needs to call good plays. The players need to execute them well. And no matter who the hell the receiver or the running back is, they've got to get open. And then Brock needs to be provided time. And then he needs to make good decisions and deliver accurate balls on time. You know what I mean? I know there's no like sports radio point in there. I get that. There's nothing quotable in there. But we make it way too much about each individual on the field. And after every game, whether they're a dub or an L, and now they're good or they suck. I didn't really see any of that yesterday. I've said this a few times, there's not one position group, not one group of coaches on the 49ers sideline that can say they nailed it. There's Fred. And then there were other players who played well.
Yeah, Jordan.
Jordan Mason.
Debo, I thought Nick played well.
Nick
personally.
Played well. Right? Debo Samuel.
Sure.
Like, there are guys that played well. Sure. Did good things. But there's no group, not Brock, not Kyle, not Nick Sorensen, not the pass rush, not the secondary, not the offensive line. Nobody can be like, we beat our opponent today. None of you.
None of them.
So you lose.
Exactly. But you barely lost. Not barely, but the score made it look closer than it actually was. I was just looking back at the end sequence to see if I could pinpoint where Debo got hurt. He had a catch right before the 2-minute warning where he goes over the middle, catches it. He gets tackled by two or three guys and he goes down. Didn't look that dramatic. The very next play, there was a penalty. And after that, the penalty, it was a, I think it was a false start or it was a dead ball foul. And he immediately took a knee. And then that was it. Debo went to the sideline.
Yep,
clearly he hurt the calf on that last catch that he had in the red zone.